to Joshua 1, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. O congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, having to fill the shoes of a great man can be an intimidating thing. And Moses, let's face it, was a great man. He was the one whom God sent to Egypt to confront the most powerful ruler in the known world at that time. It fell to Moses to perform those miracles in the court of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. It fell to Moses to lead the people out of their slavery. Yet even this is but half the story. For Moses was also a prophet of God. Moses spoke directly with God, face to face. He went up on the mountain and brought down the tablets of stone written by the finger of God. He proclaimed and taught the laws of God, and it was from his hand that the first five books of the Bible came into being, Genesis through to Deuteronomy, that section of the Bible that the Jews called the Torah or the law. I suspect that Joshua would have felt an immense weight of responsibility when the Lord came to him with the solemn words of verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready. There was no doubt that Joshua was qualified to lead the people. He'd been keen and ready a generation ago when he went in to spy out the land. Now he is older and wiser. He's still convinced, perhaps even more so, that the Lord would conquer this land. If God had determined to give it to them, what chance did the Canaanites have? That was not the problem. The real problem was the weakness and potential unfaithfulness of God's people. And entire generations had died out because of unbelief. What's more, just before he died, Moses had recited the words of a song in the hearing of the entire assembly. Listen to the words of Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 and 4. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he. But then immediately, Moses went on in the song to speak of the unfaithfulness of the Lord's people. Reading verse 5 and 6 there. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you? The rest of the song is both solemn and prophetic. It speaks of God's people abandoning him and provoking his anger by offering sacrifices to false gods. Put yourself in the shoes of Joshua. Your mentor has now gone, and he's left you with the burden of leading these people into the promised land. Is it any wonder that the Lord encourages them in verse 6 with these words? In verse 6 we read, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. This was the time of the realization of God's promise. Surely there were obstacles ahead, and there was a need for courage and resolve, but it was also an exciting time. After the battles, which were relatively short, it would be a time for building and establishing homes and businesses. It was a time for planting crops in that fertile soil and seeing them bring forth fruit. And here, Joshua is given a guarantee. You will lead these people, and they will inherit as I have promised. At that time, however, there was also a warning. The next verse shows us that the check was not blank, so to speak. There was a condition. Joshua, you must be strong and courageous, not only on the battlefield, but afterwards. You must be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. The book of the law is yours, Joshua. This is the very word of God. And as you walk down the path of life's journey, you must not turn aside to the right or to the left. Do not deviate from this path. Be careful to obey all of the law. Literally, this reads, be strong and very courageous to observe to do all the law. The Lord is calling Joshua to a commitment here. He is saying, you must determine this. Once you inherit this land and settle down in it, this will be your greatest spiritual challenge. Once you inherit the land, this will be your challenge. Joshua, you can forget about the swords and forget about the heat of battle. Your greatest fight will be fought with your own heart. This is where you need to be greatest. You need your greatest strength and courage. For if you turn from the path of right living, you cannot expect to be successful. Becoming prosperous is not just a matter of putting seed in the ground and waiting for it to grow. If you reject the Lord's word in your life, you cannot expect to retain his blessing. This is a great principle that I want to highlight in more detail this afternoon. It was something that the Lord expressed in Matthew 4 when he was tempted by the evil one. The devil tried to get the New Testament Joshua to stray from the path of God's word. But Jesus was absolutely determined. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. It was something that Peter understood. Nearing the end of his life, he laid that same burden and challenge upon his readers. Don't neglect God's word in your life. Pay attention to it as a lamp shining in a dark place. If you stray from the path, you will stumble around and cause great damage to yourself and others. It was something that Guido de Bray understood all too well, as there were so many attacks upon the word of God in his day. The opening chapters of the Belgic Confession speak very clearly about God's written word, what it is and why it is to be heeded. Men were moved along by the Holy Spirit. They spoke from God. The tablets of God's law were written with the very finger of God. Therefore, we call such writings holy and divine scriptures. It required a great deal of courage in his day to stand up for the truth of God's word and not stray to the right or the left. In the end, de Bray paid for his conviction with his life, as did many others. The challenge is just as much for us today. The temptations are just as real, and the attacks are just as serious. They come from without in a society that looks down upon the Bible and ridicules those who teach it. Think of the sitcoms on television that depict clergymen. That is what the church is. Something to laugh at rather than take seriously. There was a time when preachers could stand up in the halls of parliament and teach those in power and they would be respected. But not anymore. And the attacks come from within as well. In order to make Christianity more respectable, many teachers have watered down the truth. They have denied the virgin birth of Jesus and his resurrection. They have rejected all the miracles and turned the Bible into something that can no longer be trusted. The attacks are just as serious, and we must be vigilant. Are there any clues in our text as to what we must do with God's word? How can we avoid straying to the right or the left in our lives? Well, in Joshua 1 verse 8, there are two. And we'll consider each of them in turn. Notice that the Lord goes beyond a general admonition and says this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will have good success. The first challenge then is meditation. Joshua was told that in order to live out God's word in his life, he would have to meditate on it day and night. The word for meditate in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. It means to think something through, to ponder on it. But it also means to speak, to say something or to utter it. As one writer puts it, it expresses a mental rumination that is apt to give vent to an audible sound of the voice. Think of a person who becomes sick with a strange disease. You know how it is when something like this happens? The first thing we want is information. We want to know all about the disease and what we can do to fix it. If it means changing the diet, we change the diet. If it means getting a special medicine, we want it. Incentive to do study and research is not a problem. We go to the library and we read up all that there is on the subject. We search the internet. We can do that these days much easier than looking in books, and we can print off screeds of articles. Imagine a person poring over an example and exclaiming, "That's it. That's what I need to do. That's the diet I need." And then it's a case of spare no effort to change one's lifestyle accordingly. Well, this is the kind of picture we get from this Hebrew word. Another biblical picture is that found in Psalm 1. Think of the righteous person meditating on Scripture day and night. He is like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. The tree yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. This is what God is commanding of Joshua. Be that tree. Let your roots sink into the soil and drink up that living water of God's word. Let it be the source of your life and your fruitfulness. And all that you do, be people of the book. This is one of the things that the reformers understood very well. People at Guido de Bray. It was a tremendous blessing in those days for the Bible to be translated from the Latin Vulgate into the common tongue so that everybody who could read could pore over it for themselves and discover its wisdom. For others, it was a tremendous incentive to learn how to read so that they could meditate on God's word. The reformers refused to break life up into various compartments and then relegate the Bible to Sunday studies. When they meditated on Scripture, they realized that it was to be relevant and vital for all walks of life. The Bible had to be applied to every dimension of human endeavor, from the planting of crops in the field to the arts and culture. And this was their challenge. Dig into the Scriptures. Discover God's Word and how it applies in the raising of children and the running of a business. These days, people are fond of saying that the Bible is not a textbook on various subjects. Of course, that's true, but what we must not do is shove the Bible in a corner as if it has no relevance to the way I raise my children or run my business. The challenge is to pore over the Word of God and say, so, that's it. That is the way I can be more godly parent or husband or wife. This is what I have been doing wrong. This is the reason why my business is struggling. It's because of these biblical principles that I'm not applying. So that's it. That is how I need to walk. Let me get back to the straight path. Boys and girls, this is one of the reasons why there are Christian schools. They are not there so that you can be protected from contact with those who don't believe as we do. Christian schools are a legacy of spiritual forefathers who realized that the Bible is relevant and necessary for all human endeavor. That if we want to serve in the kingdom of as Christians, we must be like that tree planted by streams of living water. So, young people, don't neglect the Bible in your studies. Rather, dig into the Scriptures and be people of the book in all that you do. If you're new to the Christian faith or interested in it, this is very exciting for you too. God has given us a book. In fact, the term Bible comes from the Greek word meaning book. This book was written over 40 different authors. Some 1,500 years separate Moses, the author of the first five books of the Bible, from John, the author of Revelation. 1,500 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Long, long time. All parts of this book fit together perfectly. They're like a piece of a wonderful jigsaw puzzle. And when you're finished putting the final piece in place, then you can stand back and view the beautiful picture as a whole. This is what this amazing book is like. And you need to start reading it and thinking about it. Start at John's Gospel. You can find it in the index at the front. Read John's account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, and it'll blow you away. But that's only the beginning. Someone has said that the Bible is like water. It is shallow enough that a child can happily walk along the road and splash in the puddles, having great fun and never coming to any harm. But it is also as deep as the deepest ocean, so deep and so profound that the most gifted theologian can spend his entire life steeped in its pages and never exhaust its riches. This is what God has given us. So the challenge is for you also, in all aspects of your life, be people of the book. So then, we have the Lord's challenge to meditate on the Word of God. Secondly, we have this challenge to teach it. In verse 8 we read, "Do not let this book of the Lord depart from your mouth." It's at this point that we need to remember that Joshua was Moses' successor. he had to fill the shoes of Israel's greatest teacher and preacher to this point. And the Lord was laying upon him the duty to teach and instruct God's people so that they would not be ignorant of his law. Remember also that in those days they had no means of printing multiple copies of God's word, so all the instruction had to be done orally. Even today, when we have multiple copies of the Bible, we need to teach it. This is the way in our worship services. This is why we have a sermon. We have an exposition of God's word, and we seek to apply it to our own lives. And we need to maintain this. One writer of last century wrote a book, The Sermon Under Attack. He wrote that because there is so much pressure today in the evangelical world to have shorter sermons and substitutes for sermons, but God's people need to be taught the word. It is one of the primary means of growing in grace. As churches, we need to ensure that our ministers continue to be well instructed, and we need to allocate resources for that. If not, God's people will suffer. We also need to issue the call to preach God's word, and not just to young men. There is a trend today that older men have experienced more in life to heed the call of preach and teach God's word. And this has to be a good thing. We've been privileged as a congregation to be directly involved in the training of a man for ministry. And Lord willing, there will be more in the future. We can pray for that and work for it. Let me encourage all of you who are involved in teaching God's word, from Sunday school through to cadets and youth groups and catechism. Your task is an important one with a very long track record. Let God's word be in your mouth this year as you teach. Children and young people, make the most of these classes. Do your preparation. Don't make your teachers try to drag water out of a stone. That's painful for everyone. When you contribute freely, this makes the classes enjoyable for everyone. And remember that the time is very soon coming when you will have your own children and they will be asking difficult questions of you. So make the most of your time. Dig into the scriptures in your life and make them yours. Parents, we need to teach our children also. Open up the Bible in your homes and use it. Let your children see your own interest in God's word, and let them see how you live it out in your life. Brothers and sisters, as individuals and as a congregation, let us be people of the book. God has given us his word, and now, as always, the greatest danger is the laziness and unfaithfulness of our own hearts. Fruitfulness will come, but only if we sink our roots into God's soil and be nourished with the living water of his word. Strength against temptation will be given out, but only if we determine to live every word from God's mouth and lay his word up on our hearts. One more time. Be people of the book. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we know at times we do take it too lightly. Help us indeed to be people of the book. Help us to read it daily. Help us to meditate on it always. Help us to teach it whenever we can. Help us to live by it. at all times. Father, yeah, we are lazy. We are just so unfaithful at times. Quicken us by your Spirit. Quicken us and help us as we drink from your word, as we drink deeply and take it in. Renew us, Father, and help us as we seek to live out our lives as examples to others around us also. And give us that word in season to speak to it, to those whom we work with, to our neighbours, to our relations, to our friends. Father, be our help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.